ever happens on time anyway. So
No, that's true, isn't it, man? It's whatever's next on fire.
That's it. You got it. Whatever's next on fire. You got it. Well, the 15th annual Treatment Center Show at St. Mary's Church, Saturday, July 28th. You're going to be there headlining that. It's an evening of 12-step humor. Tell us all about this show.
This show is kind of misnamed. An evening of 12-step humor is a name that the gentleman who began this process, a guy named John Longlace, great, great guy. He's passed on now. But that was his idea for the title. 12-step, of course, is recovery-based and anonymity-type environment. But this show is open to everybody. You don't have to be in recovery of any fashion to go. It's for normies. We call them normies, people who don't drink and drive because it's illegal. Normies, people who, when they do prescription drugs, their name's actually on the prescription. You know those people? But it's a show for a dysfunctional. It's a show for paternal. You know, there's parenting. There's life skills. It's really, really funny. It's PG+. Nobody gets offended, but there's some topic stuff like, you know, kids who are in trouble early in school or a divorce as an issue. All that stuff's fodder for funny if we're healing from it. So it's a pretty fun night. And listen, I've seen that show before. It's good. Trust me.
And I've got to ask you this, too, because, you know, you've done a lot of different things. I mean, you've performed in all 50 states. You've actually performed in 10 other countries as well, and you've done really a little bit of everything. I was even reading earlier today, you performed your own one-man show off Broadway in New York City. So, I mean, you've kind of done a little bit of everything here. Now, you told me earlier this week when you and I had a conversation, you mentioned that you were going to come on and share some of your time with us after performing at a prison. So it's interesting how you perform in these environments that don't necessarily lend themselves to being what you would expect from a stand-up comedian.
No, and you know, they don't lend themselves to a lot, places like the incarcerated. I spent a lot of time in those places as a younger male. Now I spend a lot of time in those as maybe a more informed male, let's say that. I'm older, certainly, but that doesn't mean I'm smarter. I will tell you this, those places, they don't lend themselves to too much of anything healthy at times, you know, education or prevention or forgiveness. But the funny is the bridge. You know, they liked me this morning. And I understand that there are people who, you know, some things aren't funny. But the more we can make at least available the humor, the easier it is to talk about some of that stuff. You start talking, you start learning. You start learning and start passing it on. So it's all that stuff that works. I just love those environments because they're tough. I've always liked doing what is the impossible or what somebody says you can't. You know, I'm the kid, you say, don't touch that. I'm touching it with all 10 fingers and both feet.
Fair enough. That works. Well, Mark,
but I don't want my kid doing that, by God.
Well, right, yeah. Do as I say, not as I do, right?
That's it, man.
That's right.
That's the generation we grew up in.
Yes, without question. You talked about the bridge, too, in an environment like that. You mentioned that the funny is the bridge. Talk about how you build that bridge in an environment like that, because, again, it's just so non-traditional when you think about comedians and the environments in which they perform. Talk about that bridge and how you build that. You get people who would laugh at these things to come across that bridge.
Okay, well, so when I'm in Elyria, or Lorain County, Cleveland, all this, I've got a six-day visit next week. In the state of Ohio, you know, and I'll do probably, I don't know, conservatively 12, 13 presentations in 6 days. And we'll do the jail. We'll do a couple of visits for a public theater. We'll do a prison. We'll do places where people are locked up or locked in or locked down. A treatment center for females, you know, where they're trying to get their life together before they have their kids. You know, it's the bridge is common language, you know, and I speak dysfunctional, I speak chemical, I speak criminal. Those are primary languages for me in the city I grew up in and the family I had and the choices I made. But there's a funny that goes with that makes that language safe to learn. You ever learn a second language, man? You ever, like,
I've
Spanish,
tried.
French?
Yeah, I've tried.
Okay. You always learn the dirty words first, you know what I mean? The vernacular is there's always the expletives first. You learn the critical, funny, kind of awkward phrasing, naughty language first. that's kind of what we do with the criminal, is we start talking about what it's like to be locked up and you know, make poor choices and the stuff we drank and the dope we did. That gets through to the audience of the incarcerated or the inmates or the inpatients at a hospital or the treatment center. That's the language I speak first. And then we start to talk about being the kid who maybe wanted a little more attention, or we talk about the young adult who made some choices because we just were guessing. We didn't have good information, so we guessed poorly. But all that stuff's funny. I'll give you an example. My kid's 11, and he's got really good parents. We're split up. My ex-wife, the plaintiff, she's a good friend of mine. You know, we're both sober a long time, so he's got good skills and he's never been drunk. That's the kind of stuff that ends up to be funny if we start talking about it. It's just after a while. I mean, you really know what you're doing when the radio, when the red light goes on in the studio. You really know what you're doing. You've been doing it a long time. How many years?
About 15-ish, something like that.
Okay, so there's not many situations that come up that you couldn't handle right away, because you've done them before. That's how it is with comedy in an audience for me. I don't get heckled. I don't let it happen. I'm too quick. I'm too funny, and I've been doing it too long. So there's no heckling. There's no brutality. There's no mean spirited. Any audience is fine. I don't care if it's eBay motivational corporate gig 101 or you know, some kind of homeless shelter that I'm doing in Omaha, Nebraska, or a high school full of, you know, 10 feet tall, bulletproof, Teflon kind of immortal kids who think, oh, I got the rest of my life to get serious about this stuff. No audience is foreign to me now because I've done thousands and thousands of shows. And I'm 59 years old, man. I ain't no kid. So the audience that we're going to see in Ohio on that Friday, on the Saturday, I got a lot of nights. I'm pretty sure you're talking about Saturday night, yeah?
Both of them. I mean, actually, oh, okay. So we put all this together. I'm looking at two separate flyers here. One is Saturday, July 28th at St. Mary's Church, and there's another one Friday, July 27th, which is at St. Ignatius. So both in the listening area, my man, but yeah, as you were.
Yeah, and they'll be a little different. There'll be some tomato-tomato changes in the shows will be very different content, but also in their direction. You know, the Friday night show, there's some people there who've got a second income and they might have a boat on a lake. On Saturday night, not so much, man. A lot of them came in a white van altogether, and they've got a curfew at 10:30 because the court said so. So very, very different flavors of show Friday to Saturday. Thank God I'm bipolar, right?
how does that change, Mark? Because I've always been fascinated by that, because a lot of what's done in comedy, especially stand-up comedy, it's all ad-libbed. So how does that change from one night to the next?
Well, and stand-up can be ad-lib. It can be improvisational with, you know, you react back and forth. I'm not so much a fan of that, unless the audience is really good clay, and that's not their job. They didn't pay to come see you talk about them and have them talk to you. They paid to watch a movie, a beginning, a middle, and an end. So I brought content that's really well crafted. It's written. I write stuff for a reason. It just doesn't roll off my tongue when I say ... quote, I was an ex-hunter, 20-something pound methamphetamine, cocaine, wino, cardboard box living, shuffle step, mumble bum, horrible smelling, long-haired, one set of clothes, foul-mouthed criminal, living under a bridge most of the 1980s in Oakland, California, my hometown. That's where I'm from. That's where I go back to. That's not where I live. When I wrote that out so that I could say it like that every single time. That's not ad lib. However, whatever comes after that is either scripted or conversational. That's my choice. I'm driving the bus. There's a whole bunch of kids in the back. That's the audience. I'll tell them what to look out the window for, and I'll tell them, you know, kind of how to sit, and we'll play, and what songs to sing. But they're not going to drive the bus for very long.
Mark, all comedians, I mean, are there to kind of bring joy to an audience. But you've kind of gone one step further. I mean, playing to addicts, playing to people who are incarcerated. When did you realize you could take it this next step further, and why did you want to do it?
You know, when I first got sober, I was in a lot of trouble in 1988. I went to a treatment center. I was suicidal, you know, very, very thin, and not much self-care at all, in fact, 0%. But once I cleaned up a little bit, couple months, 3 months into it, I started volunteering to go to these places where nothing was funny. Everything was hurtful, painful, criminal, something. So I just volunteered. It was just this I don't know, hunch I had. And I've been doing it ever since. So it turned into a living. It's turned into some kind of path. But initially it was passion. You know, addicts, sure. you can say one thing about addicts. They might be misguided. They might be, dual diagnosed chemically or organically. They got something wrong upstairs. We don't think like most people, normal people. But you can't tell me an addict doesn't have passion. They've always got passion for something. It might be in the wrong direction, but addicts commit. You know, addicts are faithful as long as it's a bag or a bottle or behavior. You know, we aim ourselves the wrong way for so long, it just seems like the thing we have to do after a while. Well, I just aimed the passion the other way. I wanted to help somebody. I liked doing the comedy. I liked the attention, to be frank, you know. But I've always been funny. Funny was easier than telling the truth when I was a kid. Funny was easier than telling somebody how you got, you broke your scapula at home. Funny was easier than telling the teacher at school why you're missing a tooth and you're 13 and they're not baby teeth that are falling out. Funny was easier than telling the truth about whatever it happened after dark when he came home that you didn't tell anybody about the next day, not even the priest who was teaching you catechism. Sure. It, funnier was easier than all of that, you know, to be honest. So it might have been false, but funny's become a shelter, not just a shield. So funny's the reason my kid goes to private school. Funny's the reason now that I can talk to you on the phone on a Friday at noon, whatever here, sure. And I don't have to worry about my boss coming into the cubicle and saying, "Hey, what the hell are you doing, man? Get back to work."
Must be a very nice feeling you've got there, Mark. But
well, I'm my own boss, so sometimes I work for an a-hole. You know what I mean?
I think we all might be able to understand what you mean on that one. But you talk about your recovery process. Was that part of it for you being able to make fun of things? And do you believe that's part of what it takes to kind of get over those humps?
Yeah, let me ask you something. I mean, humor has a way of healing. I'm not trying to be Pollyanna or you know, kindergarten about this, but if you laugh at something, you might think about the alternative next time. If there's shame involved, like if I'm super embarrassed about a choice I made in a relationship, normal people, they pick different people to be intimate with. You know, normal people have a certain pattern. Mine was bipolar, crazy, guns in the glove box, meds under the front seat, tattoos in place we ain't going to show the kid. That's a keeper for me. That's a hottie, right? Borderline personality is hot till Monday, you know?
Sure.
Now, Monday, you got to have a conversation to go to court. But it's the relationship choices. Now, if I'm shamed by that, I'm not going to want to talk about it or change it. Or whatever. If I can laugh about that with some distance from it, it really doesn't seem like that good idea. We can start to make fun of. You ever been in a little bit of a fender bender, brother? You know what I mean?
Sure, yeah.
Well, when it's going on, you know, there's everything. I don't know if you're like me, but the needle goes from, all right, calm, relax, just get out your driver's license and insurance, or the needle goes to, I want to put my fist in that guy's jaw. Well, none of those are facts. That's how you feel. But there's some funny later about, well, maybe what you were looking at, or the thoughts you had that you didn't share, or the kind of person that you ended up bumping into, or the rubberneckers on that go by. Funny provides perspective to make it easier to digest the truth, the information. Yeah. What am I going to learn? You know, next time when somebody swerves into my lane, I'm not going to swerve back at them to make them feel bad. Because that's where the bump happened. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say, you know what? I think I'll just be humble, put on my brakes, and let that dude go ahead. I don't want to with another car. It's expensive. Besides, maybe I'm driving a Prius and I'm humble already. You know what I mean? you ever see those little teeny cars that have the Fiats, the new Fiats? They look like fruit on four wheels. They're like avocado colored. Or it's a kiwi colored, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The Fiat, that's hilarious to me. Or a smart car. You ever seen a smart car?
Yeah, they look like toys, basically.
Well, they do, but get in an accident in one of those. See if you're smart now. See if that was a smart choice for that.
Yeah.
You know,
you have to fold up like an accordion to get into it.
Ford F-150's left tire. Sorry, that's mean.
It's true. It's funny. It's good stuff.
Thanks. I think that humor has a way of inviting us to maybe have a discussion. You know,
sure.
You ever have a rough dinner conversation with the family?
Certainly.
You know, Thanksgiving. You know, Thanksgiving for me is PTSD, but that doesn't happen for everybody. You know, ADD in my family growing up meant all different dads for the kids. But I'm not the guy who's normal thinking. But I will say this: that I've learned a lot from other comedians, from other people who have a great sense of humor that are public figures, actors. You don't have to be a comedian to be funny. You know, some of the funniest people I've ever met, they did other things for a living. They were attorneys. They were talk show hosts. They were single mom raising a couple kids at home. Sense of humor was balance, man. I can't live without it, but it's not the only thing I do.
Understood. Well, Mark, this was awesome, man. This was very, very funny. Make sure you guys check out Mark Lundholm. He will be in the area Friday, July 27th at 7 o'clock at St. Ignatius. The next day, Saturday, July 28th, will be at St. Mary's Church, corner of 8th and Reed Avenue in Lorain. Mark, this was awesome, man. Thank you so much for the time. Thanks for coming on. We'll see when you come in next week.
Bless you guys for the attention you gave us, and I appreciate it. Safe travels. Have a great summer.
Thank you very much. You do the same. Again, comedian Mark Lundholm, very funny man. That was a lot of fun. 12 Steps to Humor. Make sure you check out both of those shows next week. We need to get to a break, so we'll take one now in just a minute. We get back to the Orthopedic Associates newsroom where Matt Douglas will give us the local news. It's Bullseye on the afternoon on AM 930 WEOL.
Can't we just be spontaneous? Get out of the same old routine?